Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a song party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck. And today is a huge day, babes. Check that episode number. Because big things were coming and big things have arrived. Welcome to episode 69, babes. Yeah, someone had to do it. Someone had to say it.
And I am recording episode 69 on my brand new Sony a7C, for those of you that watch the video version of the show. I wasn't planning on spending so much money on a new camera so soon after I had to buy a new laptop, but that is just the cards I have been dealt these days. I was like, kind of need a fucking camera. So I guess this is my sign to upgrade to the Sony a7C, which I am very excited about, specifically for the podcast, because the Canon G7X would restart every 20 minutes. It could only record in 20-minute intervals, so every 20 minutes I had to get up and restart the camera, which is super fucking annoying when you're trying to sit and have a conversation and like remain on one train of thought. So I'm stoked to be able to sit on this couch, record this podcast episode, and not have to get up and restart this fucking camera.
Huge news, huge big things happening for episode 69, babes.
Which is fitting that this is episode 69, and what is on the top of my brain this morning at 10 a.m. when I'm recording this is high school reunions, which has been on my mind for two reasons lately. Number one, my friend Tiffany Ferguson, made an incredible video on YouTube this week that I just ate up, that I just licked my fucking fingers of. It was a great video about high school reunions and the energy that surrounds them, and like the relationship between the cool kids and the bullies and the people that were not so cool, that are victims, as we move into adulthood, and just the general energy with which people approach high school reunions, which I find so interesting. It was such a good video. I'll link it in the description down below if you want to check it out. But I've also been thinking about it because I was recently invited to my five-year college reunion. So it's been 5 years since I graduated college, which makes it 9 years since I graduated high school. I graduated high school in 2015, college in 2019. So my five-year reunion for high school was 2020. So obviously it never happened because of the pandemic. Not that I would have gone. Let me be so clear in saying this. You would have to do unspeakable things to me to get me to attend a high school reunion. You'd have to hold me at gunpoint. You'd have to waterboard me. You'd have to threaten to kill everyone I loved to get me to attend a high school reunion. And to be honest, to get me to attend a college reunion too. I have no interest in reunions. I got the invitation to my five-year college reunion, and I was like, why would I go? First of all, ignoring the fact that like the whole idea of reunions and like the importance for them is kind of obsolete at this point because of social media. 5 years isn't really even that long of a time. Like, okay, it's been 5 years since I graduated college. I like know what all these people are doing. You know, I got Instagram, you know, I'm on LinkedIn. I see what people are doing. Like, if I wanted to keep in touch, I would have. I'm sorry, maybe that sounds mean, but like if I wanted to keep in touch and be besties, then like we would be doing that. And I'm cool with like the occasional like Instagram story response DM, like good for you, rooting for you. With the people that I do care about, at least minorly keeping in touch with. I don't know. I guess I'm the type of person that like when I move on. You know, like this in my brain connects to how I don't understand why people get offended when you unfollow them on Instagram, where I'm like, well, I unfollowed you because I don't care what you're doing. I love that. I was talking to Robbie about this the other day because I was like, when people ask you, like when somebody calls you out for unfollowing them and they're like, why'd you unfollow me? I'm like, do you really want to know the answer to that question? Also, like, can't you answer it for yourself? What is the reason for someone unfollowing you? Because I don't care what you're doing. And I don't mean that offensively. I mean that in like a matter of fact kind of way. I don't think you need to care what I'm doing either. We don't know each other. I'm like, we're strangers. We had two classes together in high school, in college, whatever. Like we met in like a passing circumstance. We were never close. Why? I don't care what you're doing. That's the honest truth of it. I unfollowed you because I don't give a fuck and your posts are clogging up my feed and I want to see the people that I actually want to see. This is why I refuse to follow more than 500 accounts on Instagram. The second I go over 500, I'm like, oh, it's time to unfollow people. Because I'm like, I'm not seeing the people I want to see. There are not 500 people on this earth that I care about. I'll be honest, there's not. So I'm like, why am I following this many people? It's like, okay, I follow a certain amount of celebrities on Instagram, a certain amount of people I like know and genuinely give a fuck about, and then a certain amount of like brand accounts, creators that I find inspiring, just like accounts that post cool things that I enjoy, you know? But it's like the amount of people that I follow that I actually personally give a shit about on Instagram, it's not a large number. Because I don't have space in my brain to care about that many people. Like, it's genuinely not meant to be offensive. It is just a matter of fact sort of thing to me. Like, no, I don't care about 500 people. And actually, I don't think that anybody cares about 500 people. And if anyone is saying that they care about 500 people, like, they're bullshitting themselves. Because no, you don't. And a follow on Instagram means literally next to nothing. So if I've ever unfollowed you on Instagram and you thought to yourself, why did Maddie unfollow me on Instagram? It's just because I don't have space for that many people in my brain and I needed to clear some space up and we don't know each other. And that's why. But I don't mean that in a negative way. And if we reconnected later in life, I would totally follow you again. Like it was never in a mean way. It is just simply because we are not connected at this stage in life. And that's totally fine for us. This is how I feel about like reunions, high school and college reunions. First of all, I know what you're doing because I have access to social media. So if I want to know what you're doing, I can figure it out. But like, second of all, if I wanted to be in touch, I would be in touch. So I don't feel the need to go to a reunion because I'm just like, what's the point? I literally see no point in it. And you know what? I've never understood the desire to like go to a reunion to like show people what they're missing and be like, look, I'm so much cooler now. And like, you guys were so mean to me and like, fuck you for that. Cause look at me. My life is so cool and amazing. And like flex your career or your partner or, you know, your life now to look at these people you grew up with and basically have like a I'm cooler than you contest, which first of all, if you want the like real truth and tea of it all, if that is a contest you want to compete in, you've already lost. If you want to compete with people you went to high school with in an I'm cooler than you contest, I can tell you right now definitively, you are not that fucking cool. I'm sorry if that's news to people, but it's the truth. That's number one. Number two, my thing is like, I feel like that is almost a little delusional to think that people are thinking of you that much, but also to think that it's going to impact anyone in that way. Like, I was cool when I was 14 being bullied the house down boots because of my YouTube videos. I do the same shit now. I'm successful at it now in a way that I wasn't when I was 14 years old, but it wasn't cool then, and it's not cool now either to these people. Like, the people that thought that I was weird and uncool in high school still think I'm weird and uncool now. Nothing about me has changed. You know what I mean? Like, there's no part of me being like, oh, I live in New York City and I'm successful doing the thing you bullied me for my whole life. Like, I don't think that would matter to the people that were mean to me in high school. You know what I mean? I don't think they're thinking of me at all. Even if they were, I think they would hold the same opinion of me. Like, I genuinely don't think that it would shift, that it would matter. But more than any of that, I don't think they're thinking of me at all, which is great. And what a fucking relief. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care what they're doing. They don't care what I'm doing. And that's honestly how life should be. We weren't meant to know each other. We didn't click in that way. You didn't see my vibe. I definitely don't see yours. Like, I'm not even trying to be mean when I say, like, I genuinely don't give a fuck what you're doing. Because I don't. And I don't think that you give a fuck what I'm doing either. I just think that it's a mutual state of not giving a fuck. So I have no interest in trying to impress you or make you think that I'm cool. Like, why would I do that? Why would I care about the opinions of these people that were so nasty to me growing up? I don't understand why you would want to put value in the opinion of people that were so nasty to you growing up. Like, why does changing their mind matter to you? Why does having that moment of someone that was nasty to you looking at you being like, oh, I should have been nicer to them because now they have money and a hot girlfriend or boyfriend. Like, I guess I don't understand the value in that. Like, I don't value your opinion. I had to not value your opinion, otherwise I would feel so terribly about myself. So why would I start valuing it now? And I'm really not even trying to be an asshole about it, because honestly, I'm the type of person that, like, when people from my past come and visit New York and they message me and they're like, hey, let's get a coffee and catch up, I always say yes. Because I think that's fun to catch up with people and just hear about their lives and what they're doing. That doesn't mean we're going to stay in touch after the fact. But, like, just catching up for, like, a coffee for an hour or two, that's fun. I would say yes to that every fucking time. Not if you were mean to me. For sure, no. But, like, I think about the people I did theater with growing up, the people that all of these extracurriculars, dance, whatever. The people that I knew through those groups where I'm like, we didn't remain friends, but we at one time were friends or, you know, spent a lot of time together. If any of those people ever came to New York and were like, you want to get a coffee? I'd be like, absolutely, I do. You know, I'm not opposed to reconnecting with people. I guess but that also connects to what I was saying earlier, where it's not personal. Like, me unfollowing you on Instagram is not personal. I just don't have room for that many people in my brain. If you want to get coffee with me, please hit me up to get coffee with me. Just me unfollowing you on Instagram does not mean that I don't like you or wouldn't get coffee with you. I don't know. Somehow this all connects to class reunions inside my brain. I don't get the appeal of them. Particularly, I don't. So soon after, like, the 5 and 10 year, I'm like, we just left. Like, it doesn't feel that long ago to me, on top of the fact that I really do think that social media has, like, completely stripped us from a reason to do this in the first place. If we were, like, old people, you'd have an easier time convincing me, you know? Like, if I was, like, 80 and they were like, reunion time, reunion hours, I might be like, okay, but now I'm interested. Because now we've all lived, like, complete lives. And we can, like, have some real good conversations. I'd go for the juice and the gossip, you know? I'd go to hear the craziest stories I've ever heard. Or, you know what? Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I'd just send in my people. Ashley, my best friend, was our vice president in high school. So I'm like, I'll just send Ashley in. Ashley's got connections. Ashley knows people. Ashley was, you know, woman of the people. I'll send her in and then she'll tell me everything. So anyways, if you haven't seen Tiffany's video, definitely go give it a watch, because it was something and it got me thinking, and I did RSVP no to my college reunion. So Godspeed and good luck to everyone attending class reunions this year. So I've been deep in Reddit recently. When am I not? Usually my deep dives on Reddit involve like Love Island cast member drama, deep in Love Island cast member drama, and then like lurking on the H3 subreddit, but everyone on that subreddit is literally balls to the wall fucking insane. And then like the dating advice Reddit and the Am I the Asshole Reddit, and also the Alamo Drafthouse Reddit. Because I don't know why. I just like reading what people have to say. I love listening to other people complain. I do. I love it. I find it entertaining. I don't know if I've talked about my building group chat before, but my building, my apartment building, has like a group chat where every person in the building is in it. And there are so many fights, so many complaints, so many just like vent sessions that happen in that group chat, and it sustains me. It personally like lights me on fire when people start complaining about someone in another apartment that's too loud, or they're complaining about people leaving their clothes in the laundry, or people have their dogs shitting on the roof and not picking up after them. It fills me with, it is such a source of entertainment to me. I love it so much. Reddit does the same thing to me. Like when people go on the Alamo Drafthouse Reddit and they're like complaining about the pre-show that they play before the movie starts, I'm like, this is funny. This is so good to me that you went to a movie theater and were so mad about the pre-show that you went to Reddit to talk to other people that are like hardcore Alamo Drafthouse fans. There's something about the whole thing that is like, it's just passion that I love. It's the same reason why I used to watch vegan YouTubers all the time. No interest in becoming vegan whatsoever. But I love people that have a passion about something. You can be passionate about anything and I will listen to you. I might not agree with you. I might laugh at you. But I will enjoy it. It will be a fun experience for me. People that are passionate about anything, like, I want to listen. And I do feel like a lot of people on Reddit are very passionate. And so for that reason, I do be lurking. Now, I realized that I've never done an Am I the Asshole segment on the podcast. I've asked you guys to submit your own Am I the Assholes in the audience submission section of the show, but I had never actually done a deep dive on the Am I the Asshole Reddit, which absolutely needs to be done. I do think that if you've ever taken a look at the Reddit, a lot of it has turned into people taking their very obvious situations and being like, am I the asshole for being sad that my boyfriend cheated on me? And it's like, obviously you're not the fucking asshole. But sometimes you have very like complicated situations on that Reddit. And those are the ones that I love. I love when people are in the responses like totally divided. So anyways, fun place to be. Fun place to hang out. I pulled a few of the recent Am I the Assholes that I saw. So not all of these are ones that are like super divided in the comments. Some of these I think most people are on the same page. But interesting stories nonetheless. So I pulled a few that I thought would be fun for us to talk about. Am I the asshole for being upset with my girlfriend after I felt sick during sex? This is probably so stupid and petty, but I made this because I need to vent. And vent away, bestie. What else was Reddit invented for? So I, 24 male, and my girlfriend, 20 female, were in the middle of having sex, and I suddenly got this terrible stomach cramp. I told her I was not feeling well, and she was kind of almost annoyed. And so I went to go into the bathroom to try to get out whatever gas or pain or whatever it was, and was like, sorry, I'll be right back. I don't know what the fuck was happening, to be honestly, but basically I just felt like I had this terrible pinch in my stomach. After about 20 minutes of being in there hurled over the toilet and sweating, I'm kind of thinking like, damn, it sure would be nice if my girlfriend came in here to make sure I was okay. I just kind of sat there in pain until it eventually eased up and I drank some water and was confused by what was going on with me, but also a little thrown off that my girlfriend didn't seem to care. So I go back into our room and she's laying there out of breath with her vibrator and just looks up at me and says, I just came 3 times. Now, I understand that I interpreted the sex and maybe blue balled or whatever, but I was just so hurt that she was so uncaring and just stayed there and self-pleasured while I was in pain. And I brought that up and she just got all defensive and said I was being selfish. What the fuck? Am I the asshole? I mean, no, you're not the asshole. I think your girlfriend is the asshole in this situation. The only part that I would defend the girlfriend on is the not coming to check in on you part, because I personally would not have gone to check up on someone that went to the bathroom feeling unwell and having like stomach pain, because if that was me, I would rather die than have someone come check up on me. Just leave me alone, okay? What goes on in here is between me and God. I don't need anybody hearing, witnessing, smelling. I need nobody, okay? This is a time in my life where I want complete fucking solitude. If I'm having stomach issues and I'm in the bathroom, I need nobody to come ask me how I'm doing, okay? If you need to communicate with me, you need to do it through Morse code, okay? You need to be far fucking away. There's no universe where you need to come check up on me and be that close to, you know, the impact zone. I would rather die than have someone that I was intimate with, dating, be like, are you okay, Maddie? Like, I'm gonna be okay, but you need to leave. You need to get out of here. It is dangerous for you. So for that, that's the only thing I'll defend her on, because I'm like, I get why she didn't come up and check on you, because I wouldn't have either, because I would not personally want someone to check on me in that state. However, if I mean, obviously she's the asshole. If your partner during sex is like, I'm not feeling well, and gets up, and you react annoyed to that, you're an asshole for that. And then to like continue pleasuring yourself, and after they come back in, to not be like, take that opportunity to be like, you feeling better? How are you feeling? How are you doing? And be like, I just came three times. Like, okay. Time and place. You know? It does like feel like she's obviously the asshole. And I do understand if you would want your partner to check in on you in that state, why, with the added, you know, them being annoyed and them seemingly not caring even when you entered the room again, why that would annoy you. Even though I personally would rather die than have someone even come close to the bathroom when I'm in that state. This is also why I don't think that I can live with a partner. The thought of someone hearing me in a bathroom, just like, even with friends, I can't do it. Like when my friends come over and they like are staying here or even coming over for like a party or something, if I have to take a shit, it is like, I can't think of anything worse. And like, obviously when people are staying with me for the weekend, I have to, but there have been moments where I've been like, I need you to like go take a walk. Like, I need you to leave, because I actually can't do what I need to do while you're here. Because it's like, my body won't let me, but I'm like, I'm in pain and I need to do this, but like, I need you to fucking leave. There have been like real mental coach through sessions I've had to do with myself when people are over here and I have to go to the bathroom like that. I'm like, yeah, it's just like, it's so personal. I need you to leave me alone. I need you to not be anywhere near me, actually. I mean, I get stressed out about even like letting a little fart slip out when I'm peeing. Now we're really getting into it. But I am. I don't need anybody to know me like that. It's so intimate. And the friends that have seen me in those states, like, that's how you know that we are in it for life. That's how you know I fucking trust you. That I was able to get to a point where I'm like, it's life or death. It's live or die. And I have to do this right now. And I know they're going to be able to hear me. And like, we just have to accept that right now. If I was able to reach a point of acceptance with you, like, that's how you know we're fucking in it for life. You're a ride or die. Because if you weren't, I wouldn't be able to do that in front of you. I would simply, like, it would all stay inside. And I would die. It would just, something bad would happen to me. I wouldn't be able to get it out, though. For sure, no. For sure not. I just need my own time and space, and I need a soundproof bathroom. And I mean, straight up, if I was in a relationship and there was someone over here all the time that I just like had to do that in front of, for like at least the first 5 years of our relationship, I would be putting on music every time I went to the bathroom so you can't hear me. We're like, you throw on that TV and you listen to it. It's like a child whose parents are fighting and they're like, put on fucking Cocomelon so we can't hear me yell at his fucking father. That's me in the bathroom with my hypothetical relationship for the first 5 years minimum. I have to go take care of something. You listen to Nicki Minaj while I'm gone. Like, I actually can't do it. And I don't think I go. I know some people are like, you reach a stage in a relationship where that doesn't matter to you. I actually don't think I can. Because I feel that way about my closest friends and family members that have known me my whole life, that have seen me in like the most depraved states. And even them, even the ones that have seen me, I'm like, that I've had to do it in front of, that we've reached that point with, that we're like, we're ride or die. I would still feel that way if I had to do it again, even knowing that I did it once. And by did it, I mean like simply shat while they were in my apartment and they maybe heard it. It's just too much for me. I can't do it. It's so personal. It's so personal and so intimate, and I just need to be left alone. Okay? That's what it comes down to. So I'm going to lock in there as you are not the asshole. Okay, this is a good one. Am I the asshole for using the hall passes that my wife gave me? Okay. I'm in a tough situation right now. My wife had a 6-month-long affair in the 7th year of our marriage and got caught. It was a shocking and devastating thing, obviously. She offered me one hall pass for each month of her affair. It took years of marriage counseling to get back to where we were previously. I used the hall passes my wife gave me at the beginning of the reconciliation. I slept 3 times each with 2 different women without my wife knowing. When she gave me the passes, she put several rules. Number 1, she should not know the use of the hall pass unless she asks. 2, I should answer her questions honestly and in detail if she asks. 3, protection is a must. 4, no emotional connection. I obeyed all of these rules, and I'm going to be very honest here. It helped me subside the resentment I had towards her. This is just how getting even feels, I guess. Not that it's a great thing, but it's a fact. It has been 5 years since everything, and we were going great. Last week, she decided to ask me about the hall passes out of nowhere. I was honest with her as she asked. I answered every question. Maybe I shouldn't have been honest thinking now. She does not even look me in the eyes, and she's in a depressive state. I know this calls for another marriage counseling for us and maybe individual counseling too. Maybe. I did not even remember the hall passes and women before she asked, but I just feel like shit now. Was I the asshole? See, this is a beautiful am I the asshole, because it's a situation where they're both the asshole. You suck, she sucks, the solution that you guys decided sucked. Now you are reaping the consequences of this suck conclusion that you came to. First of all, your wife is the asshole for cheating on you, for sure. But really, I think what is so powerful about this am I the asshole is because the worst part of this one is the joint conclusion they came to together. Like, you made a joint asshole decision to yourselves. And so I actually feel like this is a situation where you're both the asshole, because I think the worst part of this whole thing is the fact that they, as a couple that was in marriage counseling, decided that the most effective solution to dealing with the infidelity was to bring in more infidelity. The best way to cope with cheating is to just let everyone cheat. Like, to me, that feels like an insane solution, to be like, my wife cheated on me and we as a duo decided that I should now cheat on her for 6 months. I get six times, one time for the 6 months that she was cheating on him. That feels like an insane solution, and it seems to be one that makes it messier, more painful, and just all around doesn't seem to prioritize healing in any way so much as it is prioritizing revenge. And that seems like a pretty bad foundation to rebuild a relationship on top of post-infidelity. So I don't feel comfortable labeling one person as the asshole and one person as not, because I feel like to make that joint decision, you kind of are both the assholes. I mean, maybe, I'm sure that has worked for someone out there. I just can't imagine that being the best choice. for how we cope with this, knowing you want to stay together. Like, if that's the choice you're making, that seems like a stupid move. We like, we're trying to work through this and save our marriage and stay together. You've made that choice, and your method, your solution, the conclusion you came to was to just be like, and now we can both cheat. It just doesn't. I wonder if the marriage counselor knew about this. I wonder if there are marriage counselors that would encourage that. I mean, maybe it has worked for some people. I'm speaking for myself from my own perspective, that there's no way that would work with me. It seems so absurd. Like that, it just, yeah, would make it so much worse. Like, I'm picturing if I was the man in this situation and my partner cheated on me. If they even suggested that the solution was me getting to cheat on them 6 times, I'd be like, are you on fucking drugs? Like, I'm sorry, what the fuck? I'm mad. I'm hurt about what you did, and you think the solution is letting me do that too? This thing that I think is so morally wrong? You're going to let me do that too? That's not in alignment with how I behave, with how I act, and fuck you for insinuating that I should do that too. You know? Like, it feels like morally so fucked up. If you're going to be so upset about it, how could you also then do it to someone else? I don't know. We don't always act in alignment with our beliefs and our morals, but still, I just have always been perplexed by it because I just can't imagine behaving like that. But I suppose a lot of people would say that before they cheated. So I don't know. But I don't feel comfortable saying either of you is not the asshole. I think this is a very messy situation, and I'm so glad you brought it to Reddit. The most reliable place to get your answers. Am I the asshole for asking my boyfriend to wash his hands so I can be comfortable being intimate with him? The topic came up when we came back from a movie theater today. My boyfriend immediately went to bed, and I asked him if he wanted to wash his hands with me, to which he said no. I didn't say anything, but I felt weird about it, which he later noticed and asked what was wrong. I explained to him that I would really appreciate it if he could wash his hands after we come back from public spaces, because it makes me more comfortable when we later get intimate or even when he touches my face when kissing. He said he's an adult and he can do whatever he wants to. Oh my fucking God. He also said he has never in his life met anyone who would wash their hands after coming home from a public place. Never in his life. Never in his life. Okay. He said that he'd rather I asked him every time before we get intimate to wash his hands. I hate this fucking guy. But I told him I don't want to do that every time he tries to hold my face or kiss me, and it just makes me feel as if I was parenting him. Mm-hmm. He also knows I've recently got an infection, which has never before happened to me because I always try to make sure I keep everything clean. I tried to think of other reasons how that could have happened, but honestly, the only thing I could think of was bacteria on hands. I explained to him that I just don't want to feel nervous every time he touches me intimately if he hasn't washed his hands, because now I know that he doesn't do that as a routine. Am I the asshole for asking him to do that? No, you're not the asshole. Your boyfriend's a fucking baby back bitch. That's the truth. When I read this one, I got so fired up because I know exactly what the person that wrote this is feeling. I am also someone, talked about it a bunch on the show, that has a very delicate pH, okay? And I've got my own routines and my own things that I do to keep myself in, you know, a state of balance. But the easiest way for that balance to get thrown off is if I am intimate with someone that does not have hygiene standards that are on the same level as I. And hands are probably the easiest way that that's going to come about. Not only if you don't wash your hands, but if you don't thoroughly wash your hands, like get underneath those fucking fingernails and then you go to touch me. Yeah. All of a sudden I'm going to get an infection, mama. I'm going to get sick. I'm going to start feeling weird. Yeast infection, BV, knocking at my door all because you didn't wash your fucking hands. So I understand how this person is feeling. And it's so stressful being in that space because it's like, you don't ever really know what's gonna cause a yeast infection or a BV flare-up. You try to take all these preventative measures to make sure it doesn't happen, but it still fucking can. So it's stressful no matter what, even dealing with yourself. So then to have a partner that so blatantly is like not caring about this thing that is actually quite stressful and that is like a very easy, very achievable task that literally hangs in between you either getting an infection or not getting an infection, and they won't do it. Yeah, that's fucking annoying. And I also get like the fact that he was like, first of all, I've never met anyone that washes their hands after coming back from a public place. I've got news for you, fucko. Yes, you do. Unfortunately, most people do that. Unfortunately, most people are washing their hands pretty fucking regularly. What the hell are you talking about? I've never met anyone that washes their hands after coming back inside from a public place. Have you ever met a woman? This is my question to you. I don't know what men be doing. I don't claim to understand that, okay? But I know women, and women be doing that for sure. So what the fuck are you talking about? That's number one. Number two, why do you have an aversion to washing your hands? Why, when someone asks you, can you wash your hands? You're like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then when she explains to you why it makes her feel uncomfortable, and if you're going to touch her face and be intimate with her, she wants you to wash your hands. You're like, well, I'll only do it if you ask me to do it. You're going to have to remind me before every time we get intimate. That is so fucking annoying and puts all of the responsibility on her when you are, as her intimate partner, equally as responsible for her sexual health as she is yours. When you are intimate with someone in that way, this goes back to what gets me fired up every time I touch on topics like this, is how people don't feel like they have to look out for their sexual partners. They think it's like, what's you is you, what's me is me, I'll do with me, and I don't give a fuck about what happens to you. Like, I am so over these people that act like this, where it's like, if you're being intimate with someone, you owe them care. You have to give a fuck about their emotional well-being and their sexual health. And if you don't, you shouldn't be being intimate with them. I will say this until I drop dead, until they lower me into the fucking dirt, okay? You people shouldn't be having sex. If you're not willing to show up for someone emotionally and give a fuck about their sexual health, you need to just knock it off completely. Nobody should be having sex with you. The fact that you could be intimate with someone, know that they had an infection flare up, most likely because of bacteria that was introduced to them through you fingering them when you didn't wash your hands before, and then for them to be like, can you just get in a habit of washing your hands every time we get home so that when we lay in bed, we just get to like enjoy each other, to start hooking up, let it flow naturally, let ourselves get excited in that way without me having to stop you and be like, oh, can you wash your hands? Can you just be in a habit of knowing that? Knowing you have to do that, do not touch me if you haven't done this. I need you to just know that that's a part of this now. This is a part of what it means to hook up with each other, to be intimate with each other. You are not allowed to touch me unless you wash your hands. So it's easier for both of us if you just do it the second you come home from something. And the fact that anybody would be difficult about that anyone would make washing fucking hands so someone doesn't get an infection, that the fact that anyone would be difficult about that, it actually makes me so fucking mad. Like, if your partner is not willing to do these small, tiny, achievable things that will make you feel so much more fucking comfortable, what the fuck is wrong with them? Because also, it is in their benefit that they do that. Because number one, if they do that, they do this small thing, washing their hands, which makes you so much more comfortable, which in turn makes you so much hornier, more comfortable, more in it, more excited, more sex probably appears as a result. And also, if you're not getting infections, guess what you can do? Have more fucking sex. Because guess what? If I get BV, if I get a yeast infection, and then I have to spend a week inserting antibiotics into my vagina, guess who's not getting anything whatsoever? You, bitch. And I'll be fucked if you think I'm going to give you blowjobs for a week after you handing me an infection that I have begged you to help prevent. I'll be fucked if you think you're going to not wash your hands blatantly once I've asked you to. Finger me, give me a yeast infection, and then be like, so blowjob week? I will jump out the window. I can't. I think it is such a red flag when there is such a small, easy thing that would make such an immense impact on your partner's comfortability and you choose not to do that. That says so much about you. So much about you. And I hate it so much. So no, you're not the asshole. In fact, I think your boyfriend is such a huge fucking asshole. He actually is. Like, this is the stuff that gets me more fired up than anything else. So your boyfriend's the asshole. Mega, ultra, original, invented asshole. And you've done nothing wrong. You sweet fucking peach. Okay? And I hope that he shapes up. And if he doesn't, I hope that you find someone else that will respect your body and what it means to be intimate with you and what would make you the most comfortable and doesn't make you feel like it is a burden that you have to deal with these infections that most of us will have to deal with. And I wish we talked about it more. I wish this conversation of like hygiene and sex was more of an open discussion, because I do think it's important. Like, I need you to wash your hands. I need you to get in there. I need you to be on top of your own hygiene before we have sex, not because I'm looking at you like, ew, you're so gross. I need you to do this. But because if you don't, I'm going to get sick. My sexual health relies on us both having good hygiene. I can only do so much on my own, you know? I'm on top of my own stuff. But when we're intimate, you are introducing new bacteria to my body. So I need us to be on top of our mutual hygiene together. And I just wish that that was a more like open conversation when it comes to sex. I don't know. I'm like tired of these conversations being avoided because they're not sexy to people. This is like a major part of sex and having good sex and having comfortable sex. And if you are going to be a little fucking bitch about these conversations, then you shouldn't have sex. And that's how I feel. Am I the asshole for telling my girlfriend I'm going to break up with her if she doesn't find a job? I love this one. My girlfriend, 25 female, and I, 27 male, have been together for 2 years and have been living together. We also have no children. I'm currently working. However, my girlfriend just quit her job 3 months ago and said that the people that she worked with were toxic. Thankfully, I make enough to keep the lights on, but it's been hard with her not working. Hard to buy food and other needs when I'm throwing my entire check at bills. I've brought up multiple times to her that it's time to look for a new job, and she says no good jobs are hiring at the moment. She says this every time. I've been frustrated recently because I'm having to work overtime because of this, so I sternly brought this up to her, that she needs to find a job because I can't keep working overtime just because she isn't working. It's hard to support her and myself like this. We went back and forth, and she said that I could take up a second job, that dealing with toxic people at her work was mentally draining her, and she didn't want it to happen again. She said she wanted to be a stay-at-home girlfriend. I told her she is insane for saying that, and that if she doesn't find a job, then I would break up with her. She lost her shit and told me that men are the ones to take care of their partners. We haven't spoken much since, and she's very pissed off at me. I don't know if I was too harsh to say that to her. Am I the asshole? No, you're not the asshole. Me telling everyone they're not the asshole for 40 minutes. The stay-at-home girlfriend stuff is so funny to me. People that say that unironically are, like, actually the funniest people on earth to me. The people that engage in that, like, fantasy, the stay-at-home fantasy, the stay-at-home girlfriend fantasy, the people that engage in that genuinely and are like, I want to be a stay-at-home girlfriend, and they're not being at least a little ironic and joking, those people are so funny to me. They are comedians. I believe they should be paid for their work. Just in doing this stay-at-home girlfriend bit. I think it is so funny, even if they don't realize that what they're doing is funny. I mean, it is literally insane. It is insane to look at your partner that's like, I'm struggling. I need you to get a job to help me pay these bills. And to look at them and be like, get a second job, you lazy son of a bitch. Men take care of their girlfriends. That is wild. That is literally an insane thing to say to someone that you're supposed to be like in love with and building a life with. Yeah, get a second job. Men take care of their women. Like, I'm sorry. Come on. Guys, we can't be behaving like this. This is not a good look. I also think there's a part of me that like hears stories like this and just has to have a fucking laugh about it, because I'm like, I know so many like eligible bachelorettes that are single. I'm friends with so many single people that are just like the most brilliant, loving, supportive, just like ideal partners of people. And these are the people that are actually in relationships. What's wrong? What's going on? Yeah, clearly you're not the asshole. This is what I mean where I say some of the submissions on Am I the Asshole? It's like, in what universe would you be the asshole? I'm sure there's someone out there that's like totally in agreement. But it's like, what year is it? And where are you living? And yeah, just like what circumstances have we found ourselves in? I'm sure there are some people out there that still believe in and buy into this whole like, you know, women should do nothing and men should do everything shit, though they usually buy into it from like a derogatory perspective and not from the perspective of like, I'm a stay-at-home girlfriend, I do whatever the fuck I want and you get two jobs. Like, they see it from the perspective of like, women are stupid and incapable of doing things and I'm a strong man and I do everything myself or whatever the fuck. There are definitely people out there that believe in all of that, but it's like, you should, if you, that's what you want, go date those people then. If you want to be a stay-at-home girlfriend and date a misogynist that thinks that women can't do shit and takes care of everything and pays for your lifestyle, then go ahead, go date those men. Be my guest. You know, like, if that's a lifestyle you want, then you should go find someone to do that. But to be in a relationship with someone that is like asking you to help paying the bills and you're like, I want to be a stay-at-home girlfriend, this is my dream, to be a stay-at-home girlfriend, like, you don't get to just throw that on someone. You're like, actually, I quit my job because it's toxic and I'm never getting anyone and you're just gonna have to figure out how to pay for me too. Like, that's crazy. That is crazy. I also just like don't understand not wanting financial freedom for yourself. Why do you want to rely on someone else in that way? I guess that I don't understand that. It feels nice to be able to take care of yourself, to have financial freedom, to feel capable. It feels good to do that. It feels good to be able to take care of yourself. I do not understand why someone would not want to feel that way. But what do I know? Let's crack open this audience submission box, shall we? If you don't know, there is an audience submission box for the show where you guys can submit anything and everything that's going on in your life, whatever you want to bring up at the sleepover. Whether there's a piece of celebrity gossip that you think that we should dive into, some internet drama that needs some looking into, some personal drama, advice, am I the assholes, anything. Anything that you want to bring up at the sleepover where we're all in our slumber bags with our heads in the middle, with our MV3s tucked under our pillows, you just let me know and you put that in the submission box, which is linked in the description of every podcast episode and the podcast Instagram. Okay, let's do it. Hey, Maddie, words will never be enough to describe the solace and tenderness this podcast gives me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm 21 and I've never had sex before. A friend and I were speaking about it and I opened up about how I would be uncomfortable with having my boobs out during sex because I'm so insecure and self-conscious about them. They have always just made me uncomfortable. I asked my friend if it would be weird if I communicated this with a partner, and she told me that it would be a turnoff. I'd have to just overcome my insecurity and not tell my partner because it would ruin the mood. Please tell me your opinion on all of this. I'm dreading sex all the more because of the conversation, and I'm definitely spiraling both because of my lack of sexual experience and the fear to have to be totally naked with another human while suppressing my insecurities. First of all, I hate that your friend said this to you because your friend is wrong. Your friend is blatantly wrong, and this was an unkind thing to say because it is wrong. Relationships are not performances. We don't have to pretend to be a version of ourselves that we are not in order to be sexier and more desirable to the people that we are with. We don't have to, and also we shouldn't want to, right? If showing up authentically as yourself is a turnoff to someone, then that's not the right person for you. And honestly, I think it is completely and utterly ridiculous to assert that our insecurities make us unattractive, or that having any insecurity at all is something that needs to be hidden because it would ruin the mood in some way. The reality is that we all have insecurities. We don't need to get rid of our insecurities in order to love and be loved by other people. We all have insecurities. Everyone does, including the person that you're going to have sex with. So just the same way that you are insecure about your boobs, I'm sure that they're insecure about something else. Being completely naked with another human being is incredibly vulnerable. And it makes complete sense that it's something that you would be nervous about, especially when you have this insecurity that is at the top of your brain and you're being told by other people that it would be a turnoff if you made this insecurity known. I think that when you are with someone intimately, whether you're in a relationship or you're hooking up with them, because I don't see a difference, I think that we owe each other care no matter what, and I'll say it again. I think that sharing your insecurities and allowing someone to show up for you, to support you, to make you feel more comfortable, to make you feel a little bit more beautiful is really powerful and connecting, and is like part of what makes relationships and loving people so rich, like getting to share the parts of you that you are uncomfortable with and let other people love you and support you through that. Like, I think it is so absurd to expect people to not have insecurities. Like, part of being in a relationship and caring for someone is navigating through those together, you know? And I just have a big problem with this idea that we need to, like, essentially perform our, like, sexiest, most desirable self according to what, when we're intimate with people. I think that it is sexier to show up as our authentic selves, to bare our hearts to the people that we're intimate with, and allow ourselves to, like, accept love and support in that way. I don't think that you need to hide the fact that you are insecure from someone that you're intimate with. I think it could be really powerful and connecting to share that with someone, to let them support you, and maybe even over time become more comfortable with this part of your body as a result of that support and that care and that love. Connectedness is so healing. And yes, we do a lot of, like, healing and processing and working through our insecurities on our own, but we also do a lot of it with other people, especially with something as, like, intimate as sex, as being totally naked with another human being. Like, there's so much opportunity for healing there as well. And I don't think that we need to make our insecurities worse by convincing ourselves that we need to hide them from other people, like they would be a burden to other people, or that it would be a turnoff, that it would ruin the mood. Like, let's stop prioritizing what this hypothetical person would find sexy and what is the best for them, and ask yourself, what's the best for you? What's going to make you the most comfortable? What is the most ideal situation for you when you imagine this? And I would think that the most ideal situation for you would be being with someone who you could open up to about this, and someone that could help support you and love you through that process of being intimate, knowing that this is a big insecurity that you have. I'm sorry that your friend reacted to you that way. I don't think that that was a fair response, nor a truthful one. And they probably didn't mean any harm by it, but I just need you to know that they were wrong completely. And we all have insecurities. And we don't need to hide them in order to be worthy of love and support, and in order to be intimate with another person. Definitely not. Hi, Maddie. I love your content and creative expression so much. You are such a role model and inspiration. Thank you very much. I would love to hear your take on an issue that's been plaguing me a bit recently. I would consider myself quite submissive in a sexual setting. By the way, I am a bisexual cisgender woman, and get the most turned on when I am dominated and have little to no control. However, I'm also a very ardent feminist and sometimes feel strange about the fact that, and I would say is most often the case, it is women who are the submissive one in a heterosexual relationship, or at least that is what society wants us to be. I often question how much of my own desires and kinks have been from societal pressures and misogyny that I've unfortunately internalized, and I end up feeling icky and guilty about being submissive. Is this a completely outrageous thought, and does being submissive have nothing to do with misogyny? It's also strange because when I have sex with other women or genderqueer people, I don't feel this oppressiveness from being submissive. Would love to hear your thoughts. I don't know. I think it's one of those things that like has some truth to it. To say it's completely disconnected would just be like a lie. I think it's probably more apparent in like the expectation than it is in like the actual act of, if that's how you're receiving pleasure. If you love being submissive and that's what makes you feel good, I don't think that we need to be like, and it's misogynistic for you to enjoy that. I think that it's more, the misogyny more lives in like the expectation that men be dominant and women be submissive. It feels to me like it would be more apparent in the expectation. And the expectation is really what the problem is, not necessarily what it is that you are the most turned on by. But also, I will say, as someone who definitely leans more submissive, I sometimes will say I'm a switch, but the reality is probably that I'm like 75 to 80% submissive and 20% not. But I don't see submission as being like a not powerful thing. Maybe I'm just so Lady Gaga GUI coded, you know, but I don't see submission as being like a lack of power. I think there is a lot of power in like the relinquishing of power, in giving your choice to someone else. Well, you're choosing to give your choice to someone else, but like when I think of what I find like the most sexy, what turns me on the most in those kinds of dynamics, like I love being told what to do. I've said this so many times. I love being told what to do. I love having someone else control my orgasm. I love having someone else be like, you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and you're not going to come until I tell you to come. And I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever you say. Like that is so hot to me. And I love not being in control in that way. I love having someone else tell me exactly what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it and make all the decisions. But to me, it feels like a luxury to not have to make those decisions. Like the same way when you get super rich and you start hiring people to do all the tasks that you don't want to do, that's what it feels like to me, where I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Get to work, mama. I'm like, yeah, I don't have to make these decisions. You can make those decisions for me. And it's not like, this is a weird comparison for me to make, but like if you're super rich and you're paying people to do a bunch of tasks for you, you're not like losing power, or you're not being submissive. You're not losing power by having other people to delegate tasks to. You're actually in the highest seat of them all. You're the king, you know? And that's kind of how submission feels to me, where I'm like, I am, my orgasm is like the highest form of currency here, right? You are telling me what I need to do in order to achieve this. You want me to achieve this, but you want to be the one to really decide when it is and how it happens so that you can have the glory of the orgasm. But that is still my orgasm. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, to me, it feels like a really powerful thing to be submissive and to like relinquish that control to someone else. And it doesn't feel like, I don't know, like a man is telling me what to do in a bad way. I'm like, a man is telling me what to do, and I get to just follow instructions. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I've never seen the submissive person as being like the default less powerful one within a sexual dynamic. I think that playing with power dynamics in sex is like part of the fun, but I don't think submission automatically means you're the one with less power and control, even though it seems like more, like on paper it might seem that way, but that's not really how it feels to me, you know? Like I think that I can find power in the submission, and I can also find power in being dominant, but I almost think I find more power in being submissive. I think maybe where it becomes less of that, like, in the middle, like, passing it back and forth power dynamic is when we're talking, like, really intense, like, dominatrix level shit. Maybe then it would be more, I don't know, when we get into, like, humiliation kinks and things like that. That kind of submission is probably, like, very different than what I'm talking about. I guess I don't really do things like that. I would never, like, I feel like I'm more submissive, but I would also never want to be humiliated during sex. That, like, I hate that. So I don't know. I guess it probably, like, largely depends on, like, what your kinks are, how you would feel, or, like, what the submission and dominance looks like to you. But my point here is just to say that I don't think that submissive has to feel less powerful. I don't think that that's, like, an automatic thing. And also, I don't think it's bad to want to be in a less powerful position in sex. To say it's completely disconnected from misogyny is probably a lie, but also, like, if that's what you find hot, then that's what you find hot. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But there probably is some roots there in misogyny. We can't help that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You like what you like. You're pleasured by what you're pleasured by. And I do think that submission can feel really powerful and fun. For the same reason that dominance feels powerful and fun. You know? Listen to GUI by Lady Gaga. It'll make you feel better. I don't need to be on top to know I'm worth it, cause I'm strong enough to know the truth. Bow, no, no. I just want it to be hot because I'm best when I'm in love and I'm in love with you. Yeah, fucking banger. GUI, mama. Anyways, I'm so excited to edit this podcast and just get to look at what the video feed for this looks like. It's been so fun to not have to get up from my couch. Oh my God, I had such a much, much more enjoyable podcast recording experience when I don't have to get up and restart my fucking camera every 20 minutes. What a huge day in the Emotionally Online cinematic universe. Oh my God. So with that, happy 69th episode, everybody. Huge things have been achieved today. We've been saying big things were coming. Big things have came here on the 69th episode. So I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for tuning in, for RSVPing yes to the sleepover. It means so much to me that you've attended. And I'll see you at the next slumber party. See ya.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.